Praise God. Man, isn't the Lord good? The Lord is so good. I'm going to grab my notes right here because I'm fixing to share too. So
there you go.
Grab that. Man, I guess you've noticed that this is my Sunday. I get to share today, so I get to be a little flexible and let these guys share what God's done for them. And I'm so glad. Man, the Lord is good. And I want to share some things with you today about the heart of ministry and make it in its simplest form. Just get a picture of what the heart of the ministry is like. Now, I'm going to start over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and share some things with you today, just kind of a view of the heart of the ministry, of great days in our life, great days for mankind, and kind of hopefully that you have ears to hear today, and you'll find yourself somewhere in the mix of what I'm sharing today, possibly of what your life looks like, where you are in position of what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to speak to your heart, just some revelation. So I pray that you're sitting there and say, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, have your way with me today. What is it you'd say to me? And see, when I pray for the whole church. God, speak to every single person. And I know that's a big request, but God's a big God, you know, and He can speak to every single person who comes in here today. God's got a plan for you. He's got a word for you. And the problem is not God talking. The problem is us listening. Us hearing, because God's always abounding toward us, and He wants you to hear what He'd have for you today. So here, you know, some of the greatest days, just a couple, three, some of the greatest days for humanity. We look at the picture of humanity. Number one, the best day for us is when Jesus came back and came and paid the price for our sin. Wow. In 2 Corinthians 5, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Wow, that's the best thing that could ever happen to mankind was Jesus coming back, because we could be reconciled back to God. We would no longer have to be separated from God. Now, here lately, of course, being a pastor and over the years, I really can't even tell you how many funerals I've done or even how many weddings that we've done. Pastor Gary here has probably done three times as many as me. But, you know, when you face these transitions in people's lives when they lose a loved one, I just did a funeral for a nephew just a week or so ago, and be celebrating a homegoing for Ted Shelton coming up this next week. And just the thing is that's so prevalent in people's minds is, what about death? What about death? And a lot of people don't even think about death till they actually have to face it. Something's happened in their family. But listen, through the Scripture, you say, well, what is death? Death is merely separation. All through the Scripture, it's merely separation. When your body dies, when you die, as we would look at you if you left here, all it is separation of your soul and your spirit from your body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's merely a separation. I mean, your time is done. Your earth suit is quit. You're done here, and you're going on to something just absolutely magnificent. Well, I pray that you are, and if you're not, I need to talk to you today, okay? But it's merely separation. And when we look at spiritual death, all a spiritual death is separation of your spirit from God. Now, that's what Jesus came to deal with, so that we didn't have to be separated from God. Our spirit could be connected to God. We'd be back into God's presence. I can approach the throne of God without guilt and condemnation because of what Jesus did. See, I don't want to step into this eternal death. Eternal death is just a separation of our spirit from God for eternity. Man, we don't want to go there. So the greatest thing that happened to mankind was Jesus coming to redeem us back, to pay the price so that we could be with Jesus, be with God. The second thing that, in my mind, one of the great days for humanity in the church world was in Acts, the second chapter, what we call the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, when Jesus told His disciples, He said, I'm going, I'm fixing to leave here. And I didn't much like that. I'm going away, and you can't go with me, but I'm going, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And they didn't like that, but Jesus said, wait a minute. It's expedient for you that I go, because if I don't go, He can't come, but I'm going to send you another comforter. The word expedient there means it's to your advantage. What He's saying, and listen, the disciples saying, wait, Jesus, wait. It don't get no better than this. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God that we walk with every day, we eat with, we talk with, and You talking about leaving? How could anything get any better than that? But he said, he's telling us, you're going to be in a better position with me sitting at the right hand of God and the Holy Spirit with you than me being here. Because I said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's not only going to be with you, he's going to be inside of you. Now see, when the day of Pentecost came and Jesus told him, said, wait for the promise of the Father on high. And of course, the Holy Spirit, you know the story. Holy Spirit came. Man, the day of fulfillment of that promise came. Jesus was given the Holy Spirit by God, and he shed it abroad in our hearts. Man, that day, the 120, that day is exciting. A rushing, mighty wind came in, fire on their heads, and they're all talking in languages they never learned in school. Come on. We're talking in tongues, talking languages. And that, see, that day of Pentecost was a celebration for the Jewish people. So you had thousands of devout Jews, devout men and women who'd come together for that celebration, and they saw all these guys speaking in their language from different countries, and they were talking in their language, and they thought, man, these guys have got to be drunk. Look how excited they are. Look how happy they are. They've been drinking something. Have you ever had anybody look at you and say, man, you are a fanatic. I mean, what are you smoking? You're so happy, you shouldn't be that happy. I know what you've been going through, and you happy? What's going on? You've been out back drinking? No. And that's so that leads into, I think, another one of the best days for mankind. And today is like our mission Sunday, where we're going out and we're sharing the message. We're preaching the gospel. We're praying for the sick and praying for the needs of people. It just so fits. The next thing, see, Peter got up and he began to share the message. Share the message. And he said in Acts, the second chapter, he said, verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I love verse 21. Drop down to verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That message was heralded out to different countries and nations, but not just to nations, to generations. In Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children. What a great day that was. That, you know what, I can receive what God has for those disciples back then. You mean we can and my kids can know the Lord? Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Are you with me? That day, over 3,000 souls were saved. There's not a better message than I can have Jesus and so can my kids. There's just not a better thing that can happen. That is such a treasure. Romans 10 says this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, if Peter hadn't stood up that day, began to share the message, those 3,000 souls wouldn't have come to the Lord that day. Are you with me? You're here today trusting Jesus because somebody shared the message with you. You know, you saw Margarita. Margarita's the keyboard player. She's up here playing the keyboard almost Sunday in, Sunday out all the time. She's also an engineer for 3M. This is her last Sunday here. She's got a promotion, and she's moving up to Boston, and I'm excited for her for that. I mean, in the field that she's in, God's moving and blessing her, and she's a tremendous asset to the company, so she's moving up in her career. I'm so excited. But she didn't just move in her career while she was here. She's saying, Lord, what would you have me do in Brownwood, Texas? She never thought she'd leave here, you know? She thought, man, I have found a home, you know? And God began to move in her life, and when we started up life groups, she wanted a Community Connect life group. Y'all remember, some of you, if you haven't been here very long, she felt like her life group would be going out and knocking on doors and sharing Jesus with people. Go out and tell them about Jesus, because how would they know if nobody tells them? How could they believe if nobody tells them? So she had that burning desire to go out and win the lost. And she and Chris, I don't know where they're in here today. Are they in here today? Are y'all in here? Are y'all out? Okay. Oh, there you are, back there. And she and Chris, they're kind of a thing. I don't know how. I mean, that's maybe not supposed to be. They're a wonderful couple. Friends. No, I'm sorry, man. I'm messing this up. But you guys, y'all are so special to all of us. And they joined together as a team, the two of them, and they built a team around them. See, they weren't just, we're doing it for Victory Life. They had like, they built a team and had a crusade last year, and they had like six churches connect, right? Six churches, you guys, and just shared the message and impacted the community. But just through Margarita's initial life group, of going out and knocking on doors, like 150 souls came to the Lord. That's exciting. Give the Lord a hand. And then those 150 souls are going to be with us in heaven because someone shared the message, because someone told them about Jesus. And that's just exciting for me. So one of the greatest days for me, I want to share some of these with you. The greatest day that happened to me was the day that I met Jesus. The day I gave my life, that I got saved. The day that I received Jesus. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not the same person because of that day at 13 years old. I cried out to Jesus and he saved me. Made my spirit alive unto him. Washed that sin seed out of me by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit immersed me into Jesus. That was the greatest day for me because of my eternity now. The second great day for me, that could be for you as well if you have understanding. That 13-year-old asking Jesus to come into his heart. But at 21 years old, I made him Lord. I didn't want to just have my ticket to heaven. I wanted him to be the Lord of my life. That was the day that I cried out and said, God, I want to walk with you. Jesus, I want to follow you. I had the same thing in my heart as David said in Psalms 119. He said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That was the day I decided to follow Jesus. Give it all. I'm done. I'm following Jesus. I want it all, Lord. That was the day that, March 23rd, 1976 is when that happened. On that day, I quit drinking. I quit cussing. My whole vocabulary changed. I wasn't just doing it formally because when I showed up at church and quit cussing. No, I quit. That was part of my old life. And I didn't want that anymore. I don't know how many honest preachers you sit under, but listen, I didn't quit drinking because I didn't like it. Right? If I come and say, oh, I didn't like that, I was going to quit. No, you're lying like the devil. Come on now. I did it because I liked it, but I liked Jesus better. And I wanted to follow him. And that was my old life, and I wanted to die to that. I wanted that out of my heart to follow Jesus. Great day in my life. But you know, the next thing in Acts, the 16th chapter, which describes another day that's so important to me. In Acts, the 16th chapter, you'll find a story where Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, locked up, but they begin to sing praises to the Lord. That even in a situation like that, they still praise the Lord. That speaks volumes to us. And as they were praising the Lord, the Lord busted all the gates, opened all the doors, the prison doors, all of them opened up. Yet they stayed right there. But the jailer saw all the prison doors open and thought, they're all gone. They've all escaped. I'm in trouble. Whether it was his integrity of not doing his job or thinking, I'm going to take care of this before they get to me. He was going to commit suicide, fall on his sword. And Paul and him cried out to him, do thyself no harm. We are here. We are here. And they ministered to him, Jesus. They ministered to him, Jesus. And listen, in Acts 16, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. There's nothing better that happens in your life once you give your life to Jesus than your family comes to know the Lord. So it's not just for me. It's for my kids. It's for my brothers and sisters. Are y'all with me? I remember that March 23rd, 1976, there was a fire and a boldness in my heart I'd never felt before. Kathy and I went home the next week, a week later to the day, kneeling in our living room at our coffee table and led my sister to accept Jesus, and she accepted Jesus. A week later, her husband, my brother-in-law, like a self-made man in my mind, and he asked Jesus into his heart. And then within 6 weeks, like 70 people giving their heart to Jesus in a community of 600 people. Man, it's just nothing better than when you're the treasure that you found, that you share it with your loved ones, that they receive that as well and come to the reality of Jesus Christ. The last thing that will be so important to me is the day that I go home to be with the Lord. Heaven beckons me. Heaven beckons me. I tell you, it's just, I have family. According to Paul was sharing in Ephesians 3, we have family in heaven and we have family in earth. I got family waiting on me. I got a mom I want to hug again. I got loved ones I want to embrace. And it beckons me. And the day I go home to be with the Lord will be a tremendous day for me. But you know what? And I'm sure it will be with you as well. But until that day, we need to know God's desire for us. You know, I'll be ready to go to heaven when the time comes. But you know what? I want to know what He wants to do with me right now, right here. Right in this place. God, what is your desire for me? Who am I? Who are you? Why am I here? What is it you've called us to do? We need to answer these questions. We need to fill the void that's in our heart that many times we don't even want to recognize. We don't even want to adhere to it's there, but there's a void that needs to be filled with who we are in God. God, why am I here? What have you called me to do? So listen, I want to take you over to Exodus, the 6th chapter. Take your notes, write that down, go back and read it. I believe that what God was showing Israel that day was an example for us to see in our lives today. What He was speaking to Moses to tell the children of Israel, I believe that God wants that to come clear to us. So let's look over there to Exodus, the 6th chapter. I believe God was stating His plan for His people. And that plan hadn't changed. So in Exodus, the 6th chapter, He said, therefore, verse 6, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So in this, there's 4 steps to His plan. Number 1, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number 2, I will rescue you from their bondage. Number 3, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And number 4, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. So we say, Lord, okay, how does that speak to us? When you say, God, when God says, I will get you out of Egypt, well, what He's saying is, I'm going to save you from the world. I'm going to save you from the world. I'm going to release you from the bondage and the control that the world has on you, just like He was doing with the Egyptians. He took them out of Egypt. Egypt no longer had control over them. They were no longer under the bondage of Egypt. Are y'all getting this? And when you give your life to Jesus, we're supposed to have this attitude that we've been redeemed, set free of sin. We should take on the attitude. It says, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, that you don't have to succumb to its ruling control of your life any longer. You need to know that when you gave your life to Jesus. Because if you gave your life to Jesus and you went to God and said, hey, what does this mean? It means you are free from sin and the control of sin. Now, you may not know that. Because that takes us to step number two. Then he says, I got to get Egypt out of you. I need to rescue from their bondage of Egypt. See, those people, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt, the bondage of Egypt on the inside of them. They still thought under the control of Egypt. And that way, they still thought like that. Are y'all with me? Come on. How does that relate to you? God gets you out of the world, but you're still thinking like the world. You're not thinking like somebody that's been delivered and freed. You're not thinking like somebody that's been redeemed and whole. You can have your ticket to heaven, your spirit alive unto God, and you be living like the devil. Come on. I'm looking for elbows. Okay? He's talking to you. Come on now. How many have done that? I mean, 13, 21. I wasn't discipled. I didn't grow in the Lord. And it wasn't always pleasing. But I came to know at 21, my spirit was alive unto God. I was saved. My spirit was alive. I just didn't know it, and I wasn't acting like it. I was messed up here. How many of y'all feel that way or have felt that way? I mean, God's had to work on my thinking, my stinking thinking. My heart's alive. I know I got him in here, but I got all this stuff in my mind. You got all these doubts. You got all this stinking thinking. Why, you know, they came out of Egypt. Man, their shoes didn't even wear out. I mean, my goodness, look what God did to get them out of Egypt. Walked through the Red Sea. I mean, God parted the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army was bearing down on them to destroy them. He opens up the Red Sea, dry land. They walk across, and he drowns all of the adversaries and does away with that. And then when things don't go so good, they start whining. Oh, God, I wish we were back in Egypt. Man, you are under bondage. What is wrong with you? Ignorance has gone to seed in your brain, man. It should have been like Caleb and Joshua when they had an opportunity to take the promised land. Oh, we be not able. Caleb said, what are you talking about? We be well able. Let's go and take it. It's ours. They still had that stinking Egyptian thinking, man. They didn't realize they were more than conquerors because of God in their life. How many of us are at that situation? Come on now. Are y'all still with me? Y'all still awake? You think God ain't talking to us today? He said, I got you out of Egypt, but man, I got to work on you. I got to get Egypt out of you. I got to get the world out of you. You're thinking like the world. But see, we got to get to that next step. So many people never get past step two to step into three, what God wants to do in their life. Step three, he says, I want to redeem you to what you were meant to be in the start. See, redeem, the word redeem means to put something back to its original intent. So see, God is saying, listen, I'm getting you out of the world. You get saved. I got you out of the world. But now see, in Romans 12, 2, he said, don't be transformed to the world. I mean, you know, to the world, conformed to the world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's saying, let me transform you by changing the way that you think. And then when I get you to change the way that you think, start thinking like God, then I can help redeem you and get you back to where you were supposed to be to begin with. You see, God does not, he didn't intend for the Egyptians to just be brick makers, mixing mud, making bricks. God had so much more for them. He had a redemptive work for his people. You see, God doesn't intend for you to be a brick, just a brick. Now, you may be a bricklayer. I have nothing. Is that okay? Come on. That may be your profession, but not in slavery. God never intended for you to be slaves. He's got a redemptive work for you to do. He's got redemptive gifts that need to be birthed in you. And until you start seeing God the way he sees you and looking at you, how can he ever take you to the place he wants you to be without you thinking straight? Are y'all with me so far? Oh, this is good, whether y'all are smiling or not. I'm loving it. I mean, God is, I want to discover what's my redemptive work. What's my redemptive gifts that God has for me? God, take me to that place. Because God's got something for all of us to do. Listen, the majority of people sitting in churches, and I got this from Fuller Theological Institute, I got some statistics here. The majority of people probably even sitting in this church today do not know what body part they are in the body of Christ. Fuller Theological Institute did a research, did a survey, 86% of the people in the United States do not know what body part they are in the kingdom. Now think about that. What if 86% of your body didn't work? Come on. What if 86% of your body didn't work? You'd have a hard time finding fulfillment in what you were designed to do. Am I right? Well, we need to be thinking about this as far as the body of Christ. And you know what? Most churches don't even provide a process for people to discover their redemptive body part. That's why we're implementing the next steps. That's why there's people in next steps in there. That's why we want to help you find out what God's designed you to be. What are your gifts? What are your talents? Maybe that's what's going to lead into what God has for you to do, to find fulfillment. And see, that's what we want to be as a church body, right? And then when you discover your purpose, then you can make a difference. When you discover purpose, then we can, as a church body, as a group of people, we can make a difference. See, the last part, he said, I will take you to be my people. Did you notice that the first three steps, he's talking to you as an individual? I'm going to bring you out of the world. I'm going to get the world out of you. I'm going to help you discover purpose. But then I'm going to take you as a group of people. He said, then I'll take you as my people. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. Now, see, that's got to speak to us in some way. That's got to speak to you and I in some way. And that is this, that the last part of our journey as a Christian is done as a body. Corporately. God, what do you have for my life? God has for your life to connect to a body somewhere and serve God in that body. It's not just about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. So the fulfillment of what God's called us to do is to connect to His body as a body, as a team, to fulfill His desire in the world. See, there's so many Christians that never get beyond that thought process that it's all about them. That's the way Egypt was. It's all about me. God, you ain't taking care of me. You ain't doing it the way I'm thinking. Then I'd just soon go back to Egypt. I had it better back in Egypt. Back in slavery? Come on. Are y'all getting this? You never get past that to see that it's not all just about you. That God redeemed you for a purpose, put gifts and talents inside of you to redeem you back to what He intended for you to be to begin with in the kingdom, and then make a difference. Because every one of us can make a difference in some way in our world. So we can't fulfill our calling without connecting to the body. Because he said, then you'll be my people. I'll be your God. You're crying to me and I'll answer. See, that's God's grace. God's grace is to empower us to do what we couldn't do in and of ourselves, to be what we couldn't be in and of ourselves. Are y'all seeing this? And so when we look at the heart of the ministry and kind of back up and look at the simplicity of a big picture view, is that, wow, it just seems really simple. God, I got all this stuff trying to confuse me in my life when it's really simple. I just got to connect to you, Father, and let you rule and reign in my life. Be the Lord of my life. So, you and I, where's our process? What should we be doing? We should be saying, Lord, I've been delivered from Egypt. Lord, you saved me. That's a reality. That's real. That's true. You delivered me from Egypt. And you know what? I've been set free and gotten Egypt out of me. Because I'm renewing my mind, the Word of God, and I'm so grateful. You lying devil, I'm not succumbing to your rule and reign anymore. Flesh, I'm not going to let you rule and reign. Get under. I've been delivered, and I'm getting that mess out of me, and I want to think like God thinks. And then I found what I'm supposed to do. I'm discovering purpose in my life. And I found the group of people that I'm supposed to be doing this with, making a difference in this world. Make a difference. You know, I love our church. I love our church. I really do. If I wasn't pastoring here and I lived here, this is where I'd be going. And I think you're thinking the same thing because you're here this morning, okay? And it's not your typical church format. We're part of something bigger, multiple locations. If you're here and visiting with us, we're one church, 12 locations. Our senior pastor's in Durant and speaks all the locations typically on a Sunday morning. And then we local pastors get it through the week. That's not typical to the church world. But I'm growing by the Word of God. My pastor brings and he feeds me good, man. I mean, for the pastor, I read something on a quote this week. For a pastor, his job is to feed the sheep. but the sheep got to show up for the feeding. I'm thinking, yeah. And so I show up, and I'm eager and hungry, man. You give it to me, Lord. Bring it through my pasture. Feed me the word of God. Change me. And then I interact with a body. I know a lot of people, they struggle with a pastor that's live feed, directly, in person. But you got me here, and you got other pastors here we can touch, and we can see, look, eyeball to eyeball, and we can put hands on you and pray for you. It's just like real church. Y'all with me? But I believe that God's called me here for a reason. And it ain't about just tickling my ears and scratching my itch. But God, what is it you want to do in Central Texas? What is it you want to accomplish in Victory Life here? Then I'm plugged in. Lord, I'm all in. You show me. And, you know, sometimes it's, I've had to, you know, over the years, bounce around and find my seat on the bus. This seat just didn't feel just quite right. It didn't fit me. My bottom's too big for this area, so I got to get this seat, you know, and let God find where I fit. When I played football, man, I'm rattling now. I got 4 minutes, so I got all kinds of time, okay? When I played football, I played in three different high schools, three different teams. My senior year, I went from a Class B school to a 4A school. That was the biggest there was in New Mexico at the time. And I remember that defensive coach. I came in there, and I'm real aggressive, man. You just find me a spot. He said, Roberts, you just hang on. We're going to find out where you fit. And he did. We had a state championship team that year. And so I've learned that, Lord, I may not see the big picture of everything, but where is it I fit? Put me where I fit. I'm just all in, and have the humility to accept it as God will lay it out to you. I pray that you have the same humility. And also a passion and a desire and a self-motivation to get up every day and feed yourself the Word of God and let God direct you in the path He has for you. So, you know, here is it. It's our Mission Sunday. It's a time when we make available to people to say, hey, here's an opportunity. Maybe you have a difficult time, and you don't have it in you to do like Margarita and Chris and other people that were on their team on the local level. I don't know why it is. Sometimes that seems hard. Seems like you find it easier to go off somewhere else. Do it. I mean, I went on a mission trip in the 80s, and I spent 2 weeks in the jungles of Haiti, and then a second time ministering in Port-au-Prince. It changed my life. It radically changed my heart, the way that I had some outlook on things, you know. And maybe this is an opportunity, and if you have any kind of inkling, it can just be an ember inside of you. I'd like to look into that. Maybe that's for you. Go out and ask questions. Say, hey, Rick, let me know. Sign me up. I'd like to see if this is absolutely possible. I want to examine this. Maybe this is my niche in the body, and go and be a part of this. So maybe it's, you know, as Margarita and Chris, you know, as their jobs take them elsewhere, hey, where can I fill in? There might be a void there. Can I fill in there? Can I be a part of that? What is your niche? Where do you fit? Find your place, because it all brings glory to the Father when we do that. Are y'all with me? And let me say this one last thing. I don't get an opportunity to preach pretty much, so it's hard to turn this loose. I'll keep you for another hour, you know. how many of you give me just 5 more minutes? Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30. I love to use that one. So we're going to be here all afternoon. We're going to be here all afternoon. I almost forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, so let's find our place where we plug in, and let's enjoy the journey. What an adventure to follow Jesus. What an adventure discovering one another's personalities and our talents and just flowing together. And don't let the devil have a foothold in anything. Amen? Let's stand together. I hope you're getting something out of this. Praise God. Praise God.